to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I know in the mountains it's snowing, and I think the cold from the mountains is drifting over into Denver, Colorado, because it's cold today, 45, 46 degrees. So I hope it's sunny and warmer where you are. God says in Psalm 100, verses 3 and 4, it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. As I flip the calendar today, I realized it's April 1st, and along with that comes this, I think it's silly, this silly holiday that's on the calendar, and it's been there for centuries and centuries. And I asked our producer, Rachel, if she would give us just a little bit of background on April Fool's Day. So, Rachel, could you please inform us?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we were talking how in the 1500s they switched the calendar to the Gregorian calendar. Mm-hmm. But actually, I was just reading here, that's actually kind of a legend. So even the Library of Congress doesn't know exactly the roots. So it's, you know, for centuries and centuries, it's been a thing. But people aren't exactly sure, which is very interesting.
It is that it would still be a holiday on our calendars. It's just really, it's silliness, I think, really.
It is silliness. And you were saying, Barbara, when you were a kid, you did a couple, you know, fun things just as a kid doing April Fool's jokes. Can you share just maybe a couple?
Yeah, like you change the salt shaker and put sugar into the salt shakers. And then you grease the toilet seat with Vaseline. Just silly things like that. And I know April Fool's Day is made up in, you know, college kids and that kind of thing, with hoaxes and jokes and that kind of thing. But I wish they kind of would take it off, just kind of let it go from year to year so that we don't really experience April Fool's Day anymore.
Yeah, you know, Barbara, there's an interesting thing here right in front of me here. It says the theory also is connected to March 21st, the equinox, which is known as a day when people are tricked by unexpected weather changes. And that's according to the encyclopedia. So that's interesting. I think today we're experiencing cold. So I could say that's an unexpected weather change.
Yes. And
snowing in the mountains.
Especially in March. You see one day sunny and another day cloudy and another day snow and another day rain. And
which is just typical Colorado.
Yeah, for March. Yes, it is. So, well, thank you, Rachel. I really appreciate that. So it was started in, this is a legend again, started in the 1500s. And when they switched the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, but that's still just a theory, a legend. So, okay,
we'll never know. And then when I researched this online, I'm like, am I being tricked here? Is this April Fool's for me? You know, you never know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you, Rachel. I really appreciate it. And I hope those of you listening got a little bit of information about April Fool's Day. I don't think it should be on the calendar. It's just not that important. So I hope and pray that one of these days we won't see it on our calendar anymore. I don't care for the word fools. It's like you're going to get fooled by somebody, and I don't feel good about being fooled by anybody, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So let us go on and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And our verse of scripture for this week, thank you, Annie, so much for giving me that scripture last Saturday, is Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, you desire truth. truth in the innermost being, in our inner man, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Oh, I want that. I want the truth. I want the wisdom. The Message translation in Psalm 51, 5 through 10 says, I've been out of step with you, Lord, for a long time. In the wrong since I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me, then. Conceive a new true life. Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Do you still use Clorox? I do. When I wash whites and especially towels and that kind of thing, I still put in Clorox. It kind of makes things smell good and look clean and white. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me in to foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. Sometimes, like David experienced here, he almost felt like God had broken his bones because God brought the truth into his sinful life after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and caused Uriah to die in battle. So he felt like he had broken bones because of God's heavy conviction on his heart. And sometimes we think of that too, like God has really done a number on us, but it's not God, friend. He is a lover of our soul. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. That's a new beginning, friend. And then from the Passion, Psalm 51, 6 through 15. Oh, I really like these translations. I know there's a translation now that Creflo Dollar uses. It's called the Mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R translation. I looked it up and there is a Mirror translation and I'm going to try to get something like that. It sounds really interesting and very much up to date in verbiage. In the Passion, Psalm 51, I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. Oh, I want that more than anything else. And I want that for you, my friend, today, that when you've got decisions to be made, that you go to God. You say, Holy Spirit, I really need your help today. I really do. I just received a letter from a person in Kansas and I couldn't read it. I said, wow, this is really hard to decipher. I don't even know what this person's name is. And I said, Holy Spirit, help me to see the spelling of this name. Immediately, my eyes focused on a name that I could easily distinguish. And I said, wow, that is so cool. Thank you so much. It was like a 3D exam that he gave me, and I could understand it by his wonderful revelation. As I read Acts 1 and 2 today, I realized that people did not see themselves as singular in view of all that was going on. They were not isolating themselves. No, I know the 120 got into the upper room for 10 days, but they weren't isolating themselves individually. They were all together in one accord. And I just want to read a little bit about what Jesus told them at the very beginning in Acts 1 before he went away. Oh my goodness. I just can't imagine their hearts, although they knew he was coming back, and he is. When they asked Jesus if he was going to set Israel free and set up his kingdom on the earth, Jesus told them, it is the Father alone who has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. See, Jesus himself knew that one day he would rule and reign over the earth. Yes, but not now, not at that time in Acts 1. But you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Spirit of truth and the comfort to everyone who would seek God with all their hearts. Oh, this is so good. And you will be witnesses, not a witness, witnesses, plural, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the United States was just a piece of land out there in the between the oceans. And so we were not even there yet. And Jesus was saying, you're going to go out to the ends of the earth. And praise God, that's happening today so much more than we ever thought. Jesus was now speaking to many people being his witnesses. His body spoken of in 1 Corinthians, and that body is many members of that body. He is not just wanting us individually anymore. We're a part, a vital part of the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 of Acts 1 says, after saying this, Jesus was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. I wonder if they were the angels that were at the tomb. It's really interesting. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? You know, it's like when somebody that you love leaves and you're watching either the plane on the airstrip, or you're watching the train, or you're watching the car go out of your yard, and you're saying, oh, I wish I was with you. It's like when Kimberly and Matthew left last week. I said, oh, I'd love to be with you. So standing, staring into heaven, what are you men of Galilee doing, staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. And almost 2,000 years later, we are looking for his return. Is that not exciting? Oh, I am so excited. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of about half a mile. But you know, they were walking. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. They all met together, not just individually. They were all together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. These brothers who wanted him committed to a mental hospital, these brothers had turned their hearts over to him. They realized he was the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Among the important feasts of the year for the Jewish people at this time, and we observe it every year, was Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is occurring on April 12th this year. That's our meeting. That's a Call to Freedom meeting this year. This was in commemoration of what God directed in Exodus 12, 1 and 2, remembering God's redemption of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Another important feast is called the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and that's what they were observing in the upper room when they gathered together. The Greek word for Pentecost means 50th, and it was celebrated the 50th day from the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the day mentioned in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, which signifies that Jews and Gentiles are made fellow heirs and of the same body. And you can read that in Ephesians 3:6. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches. You know, some Jewish people just really want to make it a point that they've got roots in the Jewish thing, and they are of the tribe of, well, Asher or Gad or Judah. They want to make sure everybody knows. Nuh-uh, no, it's not that way with God. It really is not. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessing because they belong to Christ Jesus. That's such a reassurance, isn't it? That you are not alone, isolated somewhere, that you don't belong. Oh, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you now belong to the family of God. The grace of God in Jesus Christ was to reach out beyond the limits of Israel, and Pentecost marked the beginning of the fulfillment of the divine plan, the gospel into all the world, to every creature. We bow in humble gratitude to God when we realize that the birthday of the church was in preparation through every stage of human history. That's why people are so wanting to go out into all the world, the jungles and everywhere, make sure people have heard the name of Jesus. And that's why Jim Elliot went out into South America when they, in the 50s, to tell these cannibals about Jesus Christ. And of course, they were killed and murdered on the beach there. But they are willing to give their lives to tell people about Jesus Christ. Peter had no difficulty in explaining what had happened. He said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And that's in Joel 2:28. I remember when Rodney Howard Brown first came to the United States from South Africa, and he was establishing campaigns all over the United States, and one of them was at Calvary Temple. It was here in Denver, and that place was packed every night. Darren and I had the privilege of attending every night. It was for a week and a half or two, I can't remember, then with a baptism, and there were 600 that were baptized in water at the end of that meeting. But I remember that he preached, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." In fact, they had t-shirts, and I got one. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And we know that Joel 2:28 is also repeated in Acts 2 verse 16. The dispensation of the Spirit had its beginning at Pentecost. It is fast moving to a close when all Israel will share in the outpouring of the Spirit. All of Israel will be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. Here was a group of people who loved our Lord Jesus and waited for. They didn't know what. They were in the upper room praying. They didn't know what was about to happen. They had no way, no hint. But Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Spirit of God has come upon you." They knew that Jesus had told them to meet corporately for the power of Holy Spirit. In what form? They did not know. So here they were assembled, all with one accord in one place. Acts 2 verse 1. The 10 days of waiting were not spent in idleness, but with one accord in prayer and supplication. All was in readiness according to the divine plan. I wonder how many of us would be willing to wait for 10 days. No phone, hello, no TV, no going to fast foods for lunch. No, waiting in with one accord for 10 days. Oh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? Refreshing. The teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on earth prepared the way for Pentecost. He promised that the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Father, will send. The Comforter is the Father, is Jesus Christ. And we can't understand it. No, we can't. But it's three in one. The Father will send in my name. And if I depart, I will send Holy Spirit unto you. John 16, verse 7. With Jesus being gone physically, Holy Spirit would come in the Son's place to carry on. And he is in each and every one of you who call yourselves believers. Praise the Lord. Pentecost did not take the disciples by surprise. The Lord Jesus had prepared them for the Spirit's coming. And then I asked myself, would I be one of those who met in the upper room? Would I be brave enough to do that, to take some time off, just to spend some time with Holy Spirit? Am I a different person with people I want to impress? Do I want to show that I am such a good Christian, and I want to show my friends and my neighbors how well I dress and how good I look? Do I become a different person with different people I'm with? Do I want to impress any other person other than you, Lord? It's important that we see others as either those who make us feel good when we leave their presence, or run quickly from those who choose to tear us down or try to tear down the name of the Lord Jesus. Boy, I get out of there as quickly as possible when I know that they are cursing the name of Jesus. Wow. Most of the time, those people who intimidate or try to make us small in their eyes are, in truth, those who feel inadequate or inferior. And we know that we are no longer inadequate. We are no longer inferior. We are no longer people of fear. We can admire great people, but our identity is not in those whom we admire. Our identity as believers are in Christ Jesus. And we treat everyone equal, and we don't lord our place in the kingdom of God over anyone in the body of Christ. Everyone stands before God on their own. There's a story in Galatians about Peter placating to the habits and customs of a group of people he was with at the moment. And Paul confronted him on the compromise that he saw in Peter's life. And this is from Galatians 2, verse 11. "Later, when Peter came to Antioch, I had a face-to-face confrontation with him because he was clearly out of line." And here's the situation. Earlier before, certain persons had come from James Church, Peter regularly ate with the non-Jews. But when that conservative group, the Jews, came from Jerusalem, he cautiously pulled back and put as much distance as he could manage between him and his non-Jewish friends. Have you ever done that? I have. And that's how fearful he was of the conservative Jewish clique that's been pushing the old system of circumcision. Unfortunately, the rest of the Jews in Antioch church joined in that hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas, he was a brother who was merciful and compassionate, he was swept along in the charade. But when I saw that they were not maintaining a steady street course according to the message, I spoke up to Peter in front of them all. If you, a Jew, live like a non-Jew when you're not being observed by the watchdogs from Jerusalem, that means the Jewish brothers, what right do you have to require non-Jews to conform to Jewish customs? Don't tell those non-Jewish of Christians about the Jewish customs just to make a favorable impression on your old Jerusalem cronies. We Jews know that we have no advantage of birth over non-Jewish sinners. We know very well that we are not set right with God by rule-keeping, but only through personal faith of Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you know? We tried it. We had the best system of rules. Boy, they did. Old Testament rules the world has ever seen. Convinced that no human being can please God by self-improvement. We believed in Jesus as the Messiah so that we might be set right before God by trusting in the Messiah, not by trying to be good. Oh, it's so good to read things like that, isn't it? So we know that it's not our own righteousness, our self-righteousness, our self-effort, our being good in front of everybody. No, it's the faith of Jesus Christ in us. We live by the faith of who? Jesus Christ, not our own faith even, friend. So when you stand before God, it will be you and only you. You cannot rely on those friends or family members whom you think are more spiritual than you are. And this is the time to humble ourselves and submit to God as Peter did. He took Paul's advice and he changed. We have the opportunity to change now because we know we've got God in us. Oh, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Here it is. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. What a promise and what a reassurance for you, my friend. Oh, and Paul says here in Galatians 3, this is about Jesus' faith. This is not our faith. This is Jesus' faith. It's like Jesus was saying in Mark 11:22, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. You can't conjure up all your faith that you need. And some of you say, well, I didn't have enough faith to be healed. Don't you believe that? It's Jesus' faith in you that is healing you, who has healed you at the cross. Paul says here in Galatians 3, the law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, our Lord Jesus has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. Did you hear that? For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ. Praise the Lord. Like putting on new clothes. Oh, that feels good when you get a new outfit, doesn't it? Oh, well, it's going to feel really good when you see Jesus. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. Did you hear that? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Do you think that you're missing out on anything important? Oh, God makes sure that his kids are included in everything he's planning. And Jesus said that. He said, God has not kept anything back from what I'm telling you. Oh, the truth, the real truth will set you free, my friend. I just had such a great half hour. I hope that you have enjoyed this. And Kimberly will be on the air tomorrow, the Lord willing. So take all the time you can get to get to know God, to get to know Jesus Christ. And the last thing I say here to you, my friend, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.